Welcome to episode 360 of the Countdown Podcast. Warning, it's going to get a little geeky in here today, folks. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to.
Righto.
Wayne alluded to it. We're doing geekiness because we're going to just shrag on the worst 10 video game films of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I was surprised, to be honest, how small the number of video game films are.
Yeah.
Because they fail every single time.
Which is why I feel like we may have a crossy list this week. But more importantly, you can see also the age we are by whatever attachment we might have to video games and how we were disappointed if the movie didn't work out for it.
Sure.
Like, I don't play as much. But Paul knows a lot more. Paul has like a PS 2, 3, 4, whatever. What's a PS now? What is it now? Is it
PS 2?
Is it 2?
Well done, sir. No, it's PS 5.
It's 5, I thought so. Yeah, okay. So all those guys.
You didn't know you would have said PS 5.
I said 2, 3, 4, 5.
Cover your bases.
Point being, it's up there. I actually don't have the skill set to use a controller. I don't know how to do it. These guys are very good at it. They have their teams. I PC game.
To be fair, I cross-platform now with people who are on their PCs. When we play Call of Duty and Warzone.
There goes that excuse.
And they did. No, well, that's right. You could be in with us playing anytime you wanted to.
What game do you play?
At the moment, it's Call of Duty Warzone.
Okay.
And I'm never as good as a guy. And I like to protect my ego by saying it's because they're on PC and I'm not. Mouse being a much more precise Absolutely. Instrument than a controller.
Here's the thing.
But it's probably just some crap.
No, dude, multiplayer, I get killed before I even spawn. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm so bad.
I'm going to say to you now what I say to my daughter.
What?
Who about 6 weeks ago went to a friend's birthday party for roller skating and fell over a lot and came back and was crying and a bit upset about how much it sucked. And
I know what you're going to say.
And her mum went out there. My wife went out there and helped her. My mum's not very good at skating. My wife is very good at skating. And could skate backwards and do shit like that.
What?
Went out there to help her and sort of got her through that. My daughter then eventually went and bought her own skates and now skates around the fucking house all the time and can now turn on a dime, has fallen over in the house a few times and just gets up and gets on with it.
So what you're saying is I need to go practice
makes perfect.
Yeah, way. Okay. I've got to be interested enough to it as well.
Yes.
Oh, dude,
but it's
way.
An excuse to hang out with us.
Yeah, you're
right.
But
not in my case.
But obviously they're going cursing and, you know.
Because that doesn't happen
when
we play.
That doesn't happen at all, exactly. Yeah. Quick side note.
Okay.
I know a girl, she plays Call of Duty on her phone.
What?
And fucking slaps.
Oh, good on her.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
you could do that.
You didn't even do that? Cross-platform?
iPhone. She's playing multiplayer and she's fucking ledge. She's killing everyone.
Damn.
Amazing. So anyway.
Anyway, back to the topic
back
at hand.
Back to the topic at hand, everyone.
Shit-ass movies based on video games.
That's right.
Basically is where we are at today. Now, we did do this way back in the day with a something podcast. Episode like 43 or some shit like that. My list has been significantly updated.
Is that so?
Because it's 6 years on.
I wouldn't have any idea what I picked on six years ago. So there you go.
So it'd be very interesting. And what we'd normally do at this point is we would cross to the segment which kicks off every show, except this week we have nothing for you. No feedback. Last week, top 10, last 10. Very well downloaded episode. Thank you to everyone who got on board for that show. But no one has taken umbrage at much of anything, which is amazing.
Nice. And also very rare.
No, actually, I've changed my mind. There is a recount segment. Let's do it.
Okay.
Feedback. It's all about the feedback at hand. Here we go. It's called the recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Paulie clearly has something to say. Let's hear it, Paul. What happened?
I thought there wasn't much to say, Wayne, but there was a couple of bits of feedback which did make me giggle.
Go on.
The first of which is from the movie Mosh Pit on Twitter. If the take on Red Notice at the start of this one doesn't rope you into the podcast, nothing will. Annoyed Paul is my favorite Paul. I have to say, then, Movie Mosh Pit, thank you very much for the feedback. You're going to love this week's episode because there's nothing but annoying Paul. And then he fired back with, I guess it should also be noted that Horned Up Wayne is my favorite Wayne.
What did I say? Who knows?
Probably saying something inappropriate about some woman in some particular way.
Pay it a bit, sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then from Yash Kumar, who said, "Hey Paul, love the rant on Red Notice. However, check out a film called The Voices from 2014, and the performance from Ryan Reynolds. So have you seen that one, Wayne?
I have not, and I'm a Ryan Reynolds fan, so there you are. Very nice.
I understand that he is someone who hears voices, schizophrenic,
okay,
and the like, and may or may not be a serial killer, not that we wish to convey one equals the other.
Of course. Nice. All right.
Right, that's it. Very short.
Okay.
Very, very short, but I thought it was worth mentioning that horned up Wayne is a thing.
And so is, like, annoying Paul. I mean, annoyed
being
Paul.
Annoyed by, yeah.
But also Paul annoying Paul.
And also, that's a theme which runs through the Facebook community. Links in the show notes if you want to get involved in the conversation about the show. People love pointing out the fact that you're into dick.
The thing is, exactly. There are
John Hollander is a absolute fiend for this. He is totally loves
anything
it.
With a cock on the post. It's like, hey, did Wayne write this, like, post, or is this, like, Wayne's
Christmas
cock?
Biscuits in the shape of a cock.
Yeah, it's like
Wayne's mum would also question why he made these type of things.
I don't recall ever talking specifically about dick, but I'm fine that you guys think I love it.
I think it's more about what you do with your dick and how obsessed you are with it.
Oh, I mean, aren't we all? Well, maybe.
Thrill me.
Okay.
That's it for this week's weekend. We promise the other side of this break will be much more meaty and hateful.
Like a dick.
The worst 10 video game films
is the subject of this week's countdown, and the only way to beat Wayne with regards to the soundboard and the filters is to join him or make him join us.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
All right, Wayne, I didn't really mention this, but I had a lot of trouble with this list.
Yeah, me too.
And the reason is very simple. I have excised most of these pieces of shit from my mind.
Yeah.
I remember very little other than a general sense of, fuck, I hated that movie.
I heard that, bro.
So I spent a lot of time on YouTube deep diving this shit, watching 20-minute videos about why this film sucked and why that film sucked, and being traumatized all over again for your enjoyment, listeners.
Well worth it, I say. And you know what? I even watched movies I'd never seen before because I heard they were a piece of shit.
You watched the whole films?
I did.
How many people did you kill in Sniper Elite 4 while you watched?
No, this went all the way because I was sitting there going, taking very specific notes about scenes where I went, what the hell? Like that kind of thing. So not only, yes, you're right. I also had to comb through like movies to see, I remember liking that one. How was it? And you go, holy shit, when you look at it again. So yeah, it's quite the list, I shall tell you.
There aren't that many. It's like 30 or 40 of these films. So there will be crossover city as you thought. All right, Wayne, lead us away.
Okay.
Your number 10. What is it?
Righto. Everyone, you should know something. Even though we just geeked out about PC and games, my first job was as an arcade attendant.
Oh.
Okay.
Which gives Wayne extra fucking kudos here.
I don't think it does. Credence, credence. Movies. Yeah, okay. So I was the guy with the key that walked around with the arcade and handled 14-year-old critters.
Oh, my God. It was great.
Yeah.
It was a small six-month window where we would rock up there, Wayne, and we'd just be like...
Yeah, I would just slam. Everyone gets free. I was a very popular man at the time. When I was there, there was one video game that was king, and that was Street Fighter.
Oh.
Okay. Now, Paul...
So low.
Well, now, Paul clearly has this on his list high, all right? Let me tell you why it's on my list low. First of all, it's a piece of shit.
Oh, well, they all are.
They're all pieces of shit. But Street Fighter itself, for some reason, because, look, if you've played the game, even if you haven't, Ryu is the clear hero of Street Fighter. He's the lead character. But in this movie, they made Guile, who is American, played by a Belgian. And he's like, and this is fucking like Van Damme is being Guile, and he's supposed to be all American. He's like, come on, Chiron. You know, he's like, whatever, right? It was weird. And Kylie Minogue was Cammy. She's like an Aussie singer. Raul Julia is Bison, the biggest guy ever.
Oh, yeah. That's a ridiculous casting. But if there's one thing that saves this film, it's Raul Julia's performance.
Oh, yeah. He's just over the top. You know,
that line of, when I killed your entire family, and blah, 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 and for you, it was a defining moment of your life. For me, it was a Tuesday.
Well, that is definitely a part of it, right? But and I actually, as a result of things like that, actually don't remember the show too harshly. Like, it's shit. And the worst possible thing about it was, I remember this, first of all, at the very end of the show, all of the cast, who are all representing the fucking Street Fighter characters,
they're stopping their pose.
And they do that, and they just do this pose. It's the worst thing you've ever seen.
Can I add some color to this?
Please.
So Capcom had to approve everything about this film. They were executive producers on the film, which means it's as much their fault as it is anyone else's.
Completely.
Including director, his debut direction, Steven D'Souza.
Yeah.
Who's a co-writer on Die Hard.
What?
This is his... So, this is a man who's capable of writing greatness.
Yes.
Apparently, really, honestly, part of the reason the film sucks so much, other than being a video game adaptation, is Raul Julia's cancer. They had to change completely the shooting schedule around the fact that he was
being treated
really falling away fast.
Yeah.
So, any scene involving him, instead of having weeks, if not months of preparation for the actors involved in terms of being able to convince in a fight scene, they had hours. So they would rock up to set on the day.
And write a scene.
Not write the scene, but do the moves they had to move through for the choreographed fight scenes.
Yeah.
Of course, you can tell. It's an overly edited, this could be an expression I use a lot, piece of shit. These fight scenes are so, so bad.
I seem to remember him flying through the air. Was it air rams? I can't remember.
Are you shocked that Kylie Minogue can't fight very well?
Oh, not at all. But what I'm shocked at is the casting. How'd that happen? I know she's been in movies before, and I was actually really impressed. I was like, oh my God, Kylie Minogue's in a fucking Hollywood movie? That's kind of cool, until I saw it.
Then there was another factor, Wayne,
which
really affected this film.
What?
JCVD's cocaine addiction.
Wait, was he a cokehead?
Yep.
Is that how he stayed so thin?
At the time, he was spending $10,000 a week on coke.
Really? How can
in inflation terms for 1994 is $20,000 now. Can you imagine spending $20,000 now on drugs?
That's per week.
Per week.
How long is this shoot? It's got to be a couple months, right?
Yeah, well, apparently he would frequently just not fucking turn up. He'd be fucking out of it in his trailer or wherever else in his hotel room because he got high as fucking fuck the night before and then was crashing out.
I didn't know that he was like this. That's very Jan Michael Vincent of him. Like, it's Airwolf,
that's a deep fucking cut, man. Right?
Airwolf, apparently he fell out of the helicopter and shit. Anyway. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. The problem with the movie, in my opinion, was that it was just vapidly shit. But I remember enjoying just seeing Ryu and Ken and this, that. And that's pretty cool.
I guess it's a little bit bad for Steven D'Souza, who maybe he could have had something, but dealing with those two things at once just completely overwhelmed this production. And no one at Capcom stopped him. So we have this massive piece of shit, which is poorly edited, idiotic dialogue. I mean, and like you said, Jean-Claude Van Damme playing an American Air Force fucking colonel, whatever it is.
Such a studio decision because it's like, hey, we got a guy who actually does martial arts here. Well, then make him one of the Asian characters. No.
Well, I guess it wasn't a European character at the time.
Asian character. European, the other people, Oh, he could have been Balrog, but no one cares about him. He could have been like fucking the guy with the fucking forks, but no one cares. Anyway, there you go.
There we are.
So all right.
It's on my list. Not that much higher. But
I thought it was like boom.
I thought it was too, but it looks like the rest. I did some changes earlier today. My number 10 maybe is a little unlucky to be here. I did some deep dives like I was talking about before, and I fucking hated this movie when we saw it for the show. So it's in the lifetime of the show. It's from an Australian director, Justin Kurzel. It's Assassin's Creed.
That's low. A little low.
All right, so maybe we got a bit of a flip going on here. The guy who made Snowtown, if you've seen Snowtown, it's not an enjoyable movie.
No, I actually have avoided it on purpose.
It's about a bunch of real-life serial killings that happened in a small town in South Australia called Snowtown. And it's really dark and it's really grim and it's awful. But this guy then went on to do like a upteenth version of Macbeth and then did this.
Really?
And it is everything that a video game adaptation has proven to be. Almost unintelligible.
Yeah.
It has some good shots in it because, we're presenting this film as in like, wow, look at that. Yay. But every plot device that I have managed to wrestle from my memory of this film is so ridiculous. Like, nothing makes sense. We bounce back and forth between 1490, whatever the fuck it is.
And the present day.
That's because none of it makes any sense at all, other than that's when the game was set, right? Yeah. And I think that's the game. And I've never played the game.
I'm a huge fan of this game.
Oh, please, take over.
Well, check it out. Right? So the game is this dude, like he walks in and he's got some ancestry and he goes into a thing called the Animus, which actually allows him to relive his past and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And that's the conceit of the game. But to be honest with you, the game, like that's a hindrance of the game. You just want to be in 1492.
Right. And it doesn't work in this film either because
it doesn't work in the film.
It's awkward and shit.
It's an unwanted like, oh, he's back here there. And they make the Animus this thing that hoists him up so he can jump and stuff like that.
Yep.
The thing is, Paul, this should have been okay. Michael Fassbender,
yeah,
in a video game film, like Brendan Gleeson, people like that are in here. Like, this should have been fine. I would say, like you said, it does technically look good because the game is amazing. The game is actually, he jumps from towers and you see, yeah, like, you
can, at least you can't have a go at this film for looking like shit. They spent the money here.
But that's the weird thing, though. The execution is such that it does technically look good, but for some reason you don't care. And that's probably because of the, nothing stitches together and the plot is shit and it's weird.
Well, Fassbender's character, I can't remember his name, all he does is look pained.
Cal.
And get his shirt off and just snarl and anger or craze confusion.
Yeah, I saw this with my then girlfriend who was a huge Michael Fassbender fan. And even she said, well, that was a piece of shit.
Right, so she didn't go home and rub one off then.
Yeah. No, at least not with me. So, no, I agree completely. Assassin's Creed should have been amazing. And it was the one I would have bet, because I remember hearing news about, oh, Michael Fassbender's doing this. What?
What's it called? An Anibus or Animus?
Animus.
Oh, good, thank God. Because on my written review here, I'm like, oh, I did spell it wrong once.
Analbus, yeah. All right. So yes, Assassin's Creed, completely agree. It's higher on my list, so word.
All right, I guess we'll see how high. Wayne, you're number 9.
Okay, my number 9. Now, this is the arcade game that defined my early teens. It's called Double Dragon.
You know what? Honestly, didn't make my list, and here's why. Can't remember it. I have completely blocked this out.
Dude, number 9 on my list because I also kind of had fond memories of it until I revisited it. I look at it back. Now, it's got like Scott Wolf. Everyone remember Scott Wolf?
Yeah, what was he in? Party 5?
Party 5, yeah. Okay, and a few other things. He had a little run there for a while. And then his brother is Mark Dacascos, who's an Asian dude who's actually a King Dick martial artist. Right?
Who was in John Wick number 2.
Yeah,
2.
John Wick, absolutely.
Right? It's one of the big fights at the end.
Totally, and he looks like whatever, right? So he's actually a martial artist. And to be honest with you, that's the best thing about this film. You can tell that he kicks ass because he's doing all these flips and stunts and crap. You can also tell that Scott Wolf has never kicked anything. He's really, really bad. Like, and they actually do things
he's
like...
let's cast an actor and a shit actor, but that guy can actually do martial arts. Good idea. We'll have the best of both worlds.
Exactly. And it does not work because... And also the bad guy is fucking Terminator, Robert Patrick. The weird thing is that the actual production wanted it to take place as a apocalyptic Los Angeles far-flung kind of... In 2007 is when it was set. Because it was released in 94, right? And weirdly, the bad guys are like posses, like the clowns, and there's like a gang called the Postal Service. All this sort of weird shit. And all you can tell is
the Postal Service.
Yeah, they call the Postal Service. That's their gang.
Because we actually saw the clown thing try to take off around it with trying to get gangs of people to be...
Well, that was it.
Clowns
and
everywhere
also, like,
else.
Joker and so, you know, that, yeah. I don't, you know.
But we haven't seen it for Postal Workers.
No, Postal Workers. That's why it was so weird. It was supposed to be weird and the guy didn't want a PG film. And Scott Wolf is not—he's not even kicking and punching. He's throwing things at people. That's what he's doing.
He's kind of raising in Matrix Resurrections.
He was waving
his hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was just chucking shit at people. It was such the worst piece of shit. And also, when they finally like some magic happens and they both get the blue and the red gi that they're wearing, which is in the game, they've got sequins on them for some reason. I don't know why they made
sequins.
It looks fucking weird. So yeah, it's a weird piece of shit. Also, Alyssa Milano is in it with the worst hair you've ever seen. They even made a Who's the Boss joke in this film.
That's fine.
I know. There you go. In fact,
I'll go this far.
I stand resolute, motherfucker!
Any Who's the Boss joke.
Yeah, Who's the Boss joke. It's fine. I mean, you know, she was a quad at the time. There you go.
Judith Light.
I remember Judith Light, Tony Danza. I remember that shit, yeah.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Please, your number 9.
Pretty much the way that she went to bed every night, I'm sure. My number 9 is a film which makes me wistfully long for Regal and Fat Mark Hamill.
Oh, mate.
Wing Commander.
Please tell us about this. Because everyone, Liz, he's talking about Wing Commander. I never had this game because I never had an Amiga. I only had a Commodore 64.
Right? Oh, I'm sorry.
So, I know, poor guy. But I used to go to Paul's house, and I remember you and the guys were talking about this Wing Commander game, and you talked about Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, turning up fat and regal. Yeah. He looked very big. And this is one of the first games that had a cutscene, which was an actual video.
Actual cinematic in-game experiences.
Even the big lion or whatever.
It may have been the first one. I'm not sure.
Probably, because I remember marveling at it and then going, yeah, Luke really did let himself go. So, yes, but please tell me about the movie.
So this one from 1999 stars, among others,
Freddie Prinze Jr.
And Matthew Lillard as his best mate.
That's tricky.
And Saffron Burrows. Remember when Hollywood around this era tried to make her the biggest thing ever between this and like Deep Blue Sea?
Do remember her. Skinny bird of a kick.
They're all fucking terrible. And then, unfortunately, Jürgen Prochnow and shit are in this film.
I assume he's the bad guy or a commander.
No, he's commander. He's like, you know, they're trying to go back to when he was U-5, whatever that U-boat film was.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Not U-571, that's a different one.
Some submarine film. Some
Dust
German.
Boot.
Dust Boot. Dust Booty. That was what it was. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, you know, this film sucks because the creator of the game directed the film. Bad deal.
Oh, did he?
Bad Deal Studio should never, ever have happened. His name is Christopher Roberts. Freddie Prinze Jr. is a charisma vacuum. And you know a film is pure shit when Matthew Lard is one of the better actors in
oh,
it.
Oh, wow. Didn't he ever do... He's done something.
The effects are really poor. It looks like the game.
The game,
level,
yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. It really does. Like, I've seen videos which compare the game moments to the film moments. Like, oh.
Really?
The difference is the game's never been meant to be seen on the big fucking screen.
Exactly. It's like CD-ROM kind of. Yeah. Like, you know, what's weird to me, though, that I think about it, is that if Mark Hamill was in the game and the game runner actually did the movie, why isn't Mark Hamill in the movie? He wasn't doing fuck all the time.
Because he was too regal and too fat.
But he's fat in the game! Okay. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I never played the game, but I remember laughing around the movie. So there you are.
There's a moment in this film, which is a topper for me, where the captain yells at them all for celebrating because there's a destroyer hunting us, which is... I can't remember. He's another Jürgen Prochnow type dude.
Okay.
Jetski Karyo.
Sure.
But sound doesn't travel in space, you dickhead.
is he yelling?
This is not a fucking sub. No, but he's yelling at them to shut up because we could still be hunted. So hang on.
Was he yelling in frustration or you actually wanted to get them to hear?
Everyone be quiet. They're still hunting us.
So you can make as much noise as you want.
Exactly. Sound doth not travel in space. That's why when fucking rockets launch in Firefly...
No sound,
which was obviously a controversial thing back in the time. Anyway, point being, this film is garbage. The effects are so bad. And number 9 on my list.
It's probably worth me revisiting just this look at that.
Commander.
All right, so now we're going to talk about titties, everyone. It's
Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive. You didn't even know. That's it. Straight away, Dead or Alive. Okay. So for anyone who doesn't know, the Dead or Alive arcade game was among the first where they started developing what they call polygon graphics, where... people's extremities or anything moved
bounce.
Or importantly jiggled. Yeah, they jiggled in time with gravity in an exaggerated manner. Now, DOA had a lot of female characters who used to fight, and every time they did a move, their titties jiggled, all right? There was even a level in the game which was a volleyball game.
I feel bad being a male at this point.
I know. And they went ahead and made a movie of this with... who was in it? You got Holly Valance, who was an Aussie hottie at the time. You may have seen her in
Neighbors.
Entourage. Yes, an Entourage. Jamie, I want to say King, but her name's something else. Sorry, it's not written here. Wait a minute. Jamie Presley is her name. And also Eric Roberts and the Devin Aoki chick or whatever. Point being.
Oh, from Sin City.
Yes. Now there is... this movie has got ridiculous action in it, like you would imagine. But I'll tell you
when
this.
When is that action?
Well, there was actually a fight scene.
What kind of action do you mean?
Well, Holly Valance is completely naked in one fight scene, but you don't get to see a nipple. All right? It's just,
what?
Yeah, it's the way it's shot is there's a towel sort of flowing around. It just covers a titty here and half a titty there and that kind of thing. So you don't actually get to see a nipple, but
so
you do.
You can't even give it the titty bonus.
Not technically, no. And I don't know exactly.
You can't handle the truth!
However, the titular situations are so overt that you can't... you kind of think you did see one, you know what I'm saying? And for that reason...
I'm going to stop making fun of it. I feel awkward now.
I don't. For that reason, the movie itself actually does satisfy. Right? Like, you actually... like, nothing happens in it and you can't point to anything or give it, like, props. Other than to say that if you expected it to look like the game, it sure does. And it's just full of
chicks. But it maintains its...
yeah, the actual action is...
PG rating?
Well, it does. And the action doesn't... action is actually... it's way over the top, but it's not bad. It's actually filmed in slow-mo a lot.
Why is it here at your number 8?
Because literally nothing happens in the film. Like, the whole thing is they all go to some island for a fucking fight, and that's the tournament, right? And that's the big thing. You can get $10 million.
There must be a lot of islands with fights going on.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? And so it's nothing like it's worse. It's not as bad as Into the Dragon in having no plot, but it's pretty bad. So.
What?
That's right. We always said this is a hot take that everyone has a shit about, okay? I actually think Into the Dragon's kind of a piece of shit, and a lot of people have a problem with it. I know I just lost the bet. It's fine. Lost the countdown. That's fine. But DOA, yeah.
Holy
there you
shit.
Are. Animated jubblies.
You heard it here. If there was an Into the Dragon game, that would be lower than DOA on Wayne's
Well,
list.
No, you can never tell, because the whole point here is it's a... Yeah, you probably would. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway.
Right, we're going to bounce straight back to you because my number 8 is Street Fighter.
Ah, well then my number 7 is a film that... Now here's a good example. I rewatched this one. Mm-hmm. And I watched it
the
with
whole
you
thing?
Initially. Skippy. Yeah, Skippy.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Doom. All right.
I couldn't find room for it on this list.
Dude. All right. So Doom stars The Rock.
That and Assassin's Creed, another one, which I won't mention in case on your list.
It's probably going to be on my list.
Right there.
All right. Fair. I understand because Doom is like...
It's not a good film.
No, it's not a good film, but I do remember at the time going, I didn't mind that. And then I watched it again. Now, The Rock is... His character is creatively named Sarge. And Kyle Urban, who, you know, McCoy, he's the actual like protagonist, right? And also it's got Rosamund Pike in it, who I'm a huge fan of. So, and that's she looks great in this film. So
I did not remember that. Fair enough.
I know. Look, the weird thing about this film is how surprisingly crap it is. Because I remember the highlight of us seeing the movie, right?
The weird thing is you said surprisingly.
The thing, we hear it's crap, then you look at it, I remember liking that. And then you look and see why it's crap. There's odd shit happens in this film, right? Like there's walls that disappear and they go through them, and like even though the wall closes, Carl Urban's still shooting at them. Really odd things. There's actually even a scene where a dead person comes back to life because...
Really?
Yeah. It's just like a little bit late cut.
The bit that rescues this film for me is the first person shooter.
Now, me too. I remember going, oh, they're doing the first person. Yeah.
I remember going to see this with you, and I literally remember like, we know this is going to be shit. Let's just have some fun.
Yes. Yep. And that was why we kind of liked it. Now, that scene, if you look at it again, because it was for 5 minutes and they spent a fortune on it, yep. Right?
Good on them.
It's crap.
Oh,
if you look at it again, there are very, very obvious cuts where they don't even try and make it.
Of course there are.
No. They don't even try and make it look like presented as one shot. They just cut, even though it's a first person. Do you know what I mean? So it's weird shit like that. It's okay for its time, I think.
So were you a little bit like...
What have I done to deserve this bullshit?
No, because I brought this upon myself, Paul.
Ah, fair enough.
Like so many of the problems in my life.
I think I'd rather eat some pear, that's right. yeah, it's just... And The Rock is so much smaller, if you watch him, than he is now. Now he's a beast. He's still muscular back then, but he actually looks like almost...
Like a human.
Slight by comparison. I know, it's weird. But yeah, you know, there you are. It's basically an Alien knockoff.
Yeah.
But a really bad one.
But a shit one where they lose all the crowd, all the superfluous characters in the first 30 minutes, and it's just The Rock. And he becomes bad, right, from vague memory.
The Rock is the villain in this. Yeah. Well, yeah, he is. He's the villain. He switches. So, yeah, it's kind of...
Well, he gets taken over. What the fuck happens?
Well, apparently they wanted him to be the lead, and he said, no, I want to be the bad guy for a change. And then
for a change, you fucking haven't even started acting yet, mate. Oh, was he a good guy in the...
I think he was
World Wrestling.
Well, maybe just for me it's a change, but yeah, he actually said that, and then Carl Urban came in, and there was that. So, you know, on that front, it's kind of okay, but every other way, no.
Fair enough. Well done, sir. My number 7 is where I need to call out Paul W.S. Anderson. In one of his, just the first, because I'm not going to promise it's the last of the...
Oh, don't worry about
Paul
that.
Paul W.S. Anderson. I'm going with Resident Evil, the final chapter. It could be Resident Evil anything after the first one, if I'm really honest. Every one of these films, including your one that you love.
Now, hang on. Which one is the final chapter? Is
number 6.
Number 6. All right, go on.
It could be the second one, which came in the name of.
I love that one. Apocalypse.
Yeah, it's fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Extinction, Apocalypse, fucking...
So, wait. The first one, can we agree it's good?
No.
Not bad. Doesn't
if we did the top 10 video game adaptations, it would have to be on the list.
Yes.
For me.
Absolutely, me too. I actually like that one, and I like the second one because I'm me. But everyone after that, Bag of Iron, and certainly this one, which I've forgotten.
They all run together.
They run into each other like a motherfucker.
But what wins this for me is the vomit-inducing editing. Like, we've just given up on degree of Mila Jovovich... being able to do her own stunts. And full credit to her, she does her own stunts wherever she can.
Yeah.
Right? So that helps the film. But when her husband continues to fucking cut around it like she can't throw a punch or can't do a kick.
Really? He didn't do that before, did he?
Fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, cut.
Forget about the storyline. Storyline, literally the end of the last film, she's defeated someone. This film, she wakes up having also... made a Faustian pact with a villain, she wakes up and that's all gone to seed.
Yeah, because they're trying it for a new story. They have to go somewhere.
So just hit the reset button. This is not a fucking game.
What's amazing is that people keep giving them money to do it.
I know, it kept making money. It's astounding.
I mean, behind it all, I don't blame these filmmakers for doing that. It's like, this thing can feed us.
Okay. I think Paul Thomas Anderson just stopped caring at this point. He's like, I got $40 million. I know I'm going to make that back. You can all eat my dick, and I'm just going to put whatever one up there on the screen. And he did, and it did. It made another $200 or $300 million off a $40 million budget. So they're not expensive films. They look terrible as shit.
Yeah, okay. I don't. Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, one and two, that's all. I didn't even see that last one that you were talking about.
Good, don't. So. Fuck this film.
Fair enough. My number six is actually Assassin's Creed, so we're back to you.
All right. Okay, my number six is Hitman, colon, Agent 47.
No, I know you like that agent thing. Keep going. Please, tell me about that one.
Skip Woods wrote this movie. He's the guy that wrote the first movie, which is a dishonorable mention on my list, A Good Day to Die Hard and X-Men, colon, X-Men Origins, colon, Wolverine.
Fuck off. So, yeah.
Oh, and your favorite movie, Wayne, what? Swordfish.
Oh, he wrote that.
Yeah.
I love that fucking film. I love that film.
Again, shit action, quick cuts, except when it's slow-mo, when the star, Rupert Friend, is clearly just not moving at pace.
So I know a little bit about this film.
Go on.
Rupert Friend. Now, this one isn't on my list, but the first one is.
The first one. Fair enough. Wow, with Jimmy Oliphant, your favorite.
I know. Understand now
the
power of being disappointed, okay? Wow. So just talking about this one, though, that Rupert Friend guy, he put in the hard yards, man. He actually apparently did most of the stunts himself. He really was committed. He fucking did, like, training. And
did he shave his head?
He definitely shaved his head, right? And the thing about the film is, unfortunately, everyone else just didn't give a fuck. And this is what, like, a lot of people say this. It's like, he's actually trying really hard and it just isn't any good.
It's a shame. I feel bad for him, man. I do.
I do.
I don't remember him being terrible in this movie. I just remember he's got nothing to do. They don't give him anything. Well, no range, no pathos.
I know. It's such a vapid sort of like, just like, there. And it could have been so good because we're just going to jump to my number five now, which is Hitman. All right, okay, the first one.
Very close. Can I just say,
please.
This film wants you to believe that Hitman's the bad guy and Zachary Quinto's character is the good guy.
That's right. Silas, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's not Silas.
I know. I just want to say Silas.
I'm sorry, but if you know the fucking game...
I forgot that part.
Why are you even trying? Stop it. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whoever wrote this script is an idiot, because the only person that you're appealing to is someone who's played this game. Not one person who's never played this game is going to go, fuck, that looks good.
Which is why it amazes me that it got like this reboot. Like, I guess they were sitting there going, what other franchises are out there that already has an audience? Oh, Hitman? Let's do that movie.
Sorry, whoever wrote it. Skip Woods wrote it. You're a fucking moron, Skip Woods. Stop fucking offending us with... You should be immediately barred from writing anything ever again after A Good Day to Die Hard.
Was A Good Day to Die Hard the Sam
No, that's Die Hard 4.
So it was Die Hard 4.0 is Timothy Oliphant.
Yes.
Yeah.
As a bad guy. Not that one. Yeah, we're talking about the one with Russia and fucking Jai Courtney, the franchise killer in it. Actually, I think Skip Woods is the franchise killer, and we've been unfair on Jai Courtney all this time.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. Well, like, speaking of the Hitman game, right? I love that one. Any game where a bald guy is an ass kicker tends to be nice with me. Like, I'm like, oh, I can hopefully relate. It's like an aspiration.
Tell us about Fart. What was so bad about the first one?
Okay, the first one, Timothy Oliphant, he actually talks about this. He actually shaved his head and went to Budapest to pay for a house. That's why he did this movie. Right?
Why Budapest?
That's where they filmed it. He said...
To get enlightenment.
Yeah, I don't know. When I heard that Timothy was in there, I liked that character. And also, the whole point of the Hitman character is he's a bald guy in a suit who walks around killing guns. So I...
Two-thirds of which is bald.
So I actually really like the character. So then I go see the film, and it's weird because Timothy Oliphant, it doesn't skimp on the gore, to be fair. It actually is like quite like gross and stuff like that. But weird things in it happen, and I don't like it. For example, in one scene, sort of middle way through, Timothy Oliphant is set upon by a bunch of other agents. He's Agent 47. There's a bunch of agents. And he's like, looks at them, and they all got guns pointing at each other. Then he goes, you guys want to handle this like gentlemen or professionals? And all of them nod once, and all of them put their guns down, and all of them produce two swords. And then it becomes Timothy Oliphant cutting motherfuckers up, It's really shittily done.
So wait, they're designated to kill him.
Yeah.
And when he questions them that way, they'll go, yeah, fair enough. Let's 46 of them.
No, there's about 10 of them or okay. 5 of them. There's a lot of them, right? But like not 46. But like he... So, and the way the scene plays, I was like, this is stupid. You guys should have done better than this.
That's so my general sense of that one.
Yeah, so I think I was disappointed more when I was expected 47 to be a piece of shit, like the other one to be a piece of shit. So that's why mine's on this one's on the list for me instead of the other one.
Can't knock it at all. All right then, my number five is a film we did watch not that long ago and it was in the worst 10 films of the year for me. Very, very high up from memory. My number five is Monster Hunter.
I was just wondering if you were going to mention that one.
Directed by, again, Paul W.S. Anderson and again starring Mila Jovovich. It is a piece of shit game having never played the game. So I need to be fully transparent on this. I'm not disappointed by a gamer, as a gamer.
No. This is a movie podcast. Now tell me, what exactly is Monster Hunter about?
So, Mila Jovovich.
Mm-hmm. Jovovich? Forgot. I love that.
I will never change.
I know, and I don't want you to.
I can't even tell what her real name is anymore.
Mila J. No, go ahead.
MJ.
MJ, yeah.
MJ.
MJ. MJ.
MJ. MJ. Okay. And her crew of soldiers somehow wind up back in some alternate dimension where there are monsters.
Yep.
And they're all like special forces in Iraq, people.
Yep, but it's Tatooine-looking place.
Yep, and they get set upon by surprise, monsters, and all of them get killed except for her, and she meets a local hunter who saves her after terrible
That's right, bust ass.
Edited sequence after terrible edited sequence. Tony Jaa plays the...
Yes, I do remember now. This is a Netflix film, wasn't
it? Local Hunter. No, we saw it at the cinema, man.
Did we?
Yeah, an advanced screening.
Shit. Yeah, that was a piece of shit. I remember this now. Now, let me ask you this, Paul. Do you find this film better or worse than any of the Resident Evils?
Oh, I guess it's worse.
It's worse?
Only because of expectation and bigger budget. I think this... I don't have it here in front of me. I think this one had a much bigger budget because it was a first foray into it. So it didn't have the lower budget Resident Evil kind of films from 10 years before.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, he's clearly passionate about it, but surely he sees the film he makes and you go, I want to do better next time. When you fuck up in life...
I think this is his better.
When you fuck up in life, do you not want to go, I made a lot of errors in that one. Here's how I can improve upon that.
Of course. And I think...
But Paul W.S. Anderson's like, I don't give a shit, I got paid more money.
Yeah, I reckon like... See, here's the thing. Whenever you get an artist who's in a position to go, I don't give a fuck, and then you're rich, and then whatever you do makes you richer, I gotta say that on one level, yes, it's bad for the product they do, but I'm actually kind of jealous of that person. I'm like, yeah, you really, really made it, didn't you? You just nailed it.
Yeah, well, if...
I don't like the fact that you're making
you succeeded
well.
Upwards. That feels like this
but
film.
But again, there's some pride in the product. I don't know.
This film has a centerpiece around these two characters coming together, but they don't speak the same language. But that requires acting.
Yeah.
And Tony Jaa, Norm Wheeler, Jovovich are actors. They're terrible. They're both terrible.
No, Miller's done some good things, I reckon. No?
Good luck. Over to you.
I'm sure I've liked her at some stage. Anyway, I actually think she did fine in the Resident Evil movies. Yeah. There you go.
And then you can't get any worse, Ron Perlman and his crew of fucking characters, including the...
I've completely forgotten everything about this film, and that's how crap it is. Like,
especially his wig, which is worth almost the price of admission alone. This film is garbage. And they come out back into the real world, and the fucking monsters chase them into it. And, oh, God!
Okay, I think we know where we're going with this one. All right, so that was Monster Hunter, a piece of ass shithole.
From number five, for me.
My number four is Super Mario Brothers, man. How do you, you don't think we're going
to
do this list?
Very close to me. Number three for me.
All right. So it's got Bob Hoskins in it. It's got John Leguizamo. Yeah.
Samantha Mathis.
And Dennis Hopper. God. I think this is actually notorious, this production, because Bob Hoskins said it's the worst thing he ever did.
He did?
And I actually got this thing
here. He and John Leguizamo used to go and get drunk between takes.
And then I've got this quote here from him. He says, "The worst thing I ever did, Super Mario Brothers. It was a fucking nightmare. The whole experience was a nightmare. It had a husband and wife team directing whose arrogance had been mistaken for talent.
Oh,
after so many weeks, their own agents told them to get off the set. And then he said, fucking nightmare, fucking idiots."
Wow.
Imagine that.
Bob Hoskins doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would have minced words.
No.
But
he's a well-known actor.
I love it. I love the honesty.
Totally huge. And then they actually talked to these two. They're Jankel and Morton. The actor.
Annabelle Jankel and what was the other one?
Someone Morton.
Yeah, Rocky Morton.
Yeah. And they talked about how much that they actually sound like assholes based on the account that you see of this. And the reason it went so bad as a movie is that they were just figuring shit out on the fly.
Well, what I heard was the studio just went, we want a family-friendly fucking event. They wanted this dark fantasy.
That's right.
And these two things didn't meld together at all.
No.
Rocky Morton never directed another feature film.
Mm-hmm.
Annabelle Jenkel directed one 25 years later. That is how much, and deservedly so, this film fucked with their reputations.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me one bit. And yeah, I mean, look, it was just weird that to look at. It was just a weird show to look at. I remember just going, this is crap. And it sucked harder and harder as it went on.
Do you remember that, a kink club? A kinky, like, you know, S&M type club.
Mm-hmm. I've heard
in
of
the middle of a family-friendly film.
Which is that in this film?
Yeah.
Just yes, I remember now.
Cut to this shit.
That's right.
And whatever character was wearing pleather and this big, huge woman. I'm like, what is this doing here?
Yeah.
Fucking,
none of it made any sense.
All the cars go on a grid except when they don't have to because that's inconvenient to the plot.
Yeah. The fact that
even Hoskins and Leguizamo are brothers, are 22 years in age difference.
This is what gets me. How did you make that? I see a studio going, I'm gonna choose celebrity over realism or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But like that, this is such a huge example of it. I think they're having trouble getting those guys on board even. So it's just, yeah, the whole thing doesn't make sense and it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, but you think about the game, Super Mario Brothers, the original one back in this era of 1993. There wasn't a story, really. Not one to sustain a film. Like, it was doomed from the get-go. Something like Uncharted has multiple games and storylines, and they're meant to be cinematic.
But here's the thing. You can actually... There's a movie for Battleship, and that was a board game, right?
Jesus, how that don't make my list now.
Because it's a board game. Technically, although they did become a video game, it's probably a board game, first of all. Right? Oh, actually, no, I don't think it came a video. It's always that...
No, I didn't see it on the list.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's not. So, but that's the thing. Like, it's like, let's make a movie out of that. Well, now I have to literally take another writer or adapt another script. But that
makes more sense because it's not... Like, where is this?
This is a platform game.
I'll take it back.
So that's how it is. But yeah, it's still a piece of shit, so you're totally right. Super Mario Brothers number four.
And my number four is my first Uwe Boll appearance, and not my last, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
This is called Alone in the Dark from 2005. Is it on your list?
Dude, this is the one I watched, and this is my number one.
Wow!
All right.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
I had no idea. Wait a minute.
The only reason this is not on my list is because I didn't rewatch the whole thing.
Well, first of all,
I watched the 20-minute "This is so bad" video. You won't believe your eyes, and then I looked at all the various complaints and as well as what I saw on the screen.
Yeah,
but unless you watched another Uwe Boll film, I will argue to my dying day that film is even worse than this one.
No, it could easily be, but
that we're talking about, you know, 1 out of 10 versus 1.1 out of 10. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, no, exactly.
But your number one, take it away. What did you hate?
Sorry. Okay, well, first of all, the game that I saw, again, at Paul's house, I never actually owned this game, was actually quite scary. It's a dude in a haunted
mansion
or something, and you can't see much.
Creepy, atmospheric game.
Right, so that actually scared me. I remember thinking, ooh, I wouldn't play this game at night. This film is about monsters in a place, and they can't survive in the light, all right?
Yep.
And Chris...
Until the final shot of the film.
exactly, right? It doesn't give a shit. And I don't know squat about Uwe Boll or whatever, right?
I do.
I know that you hate him and I love that, right? So these monsters... Christian Slater is like a...
He's a psychic private investigator.
Psychic PI. And Stephen Dorff is in it.
He's the Men in Black leader.
He's like the Special Forces leader guy, right? So this is... I know it was 2005, but yeah. I've never seen worse CGI.
Oh, right? My God, it's terrible.
Dude, and the monsters, they can turn invisible. So
except when they can't, because they short out the fucking electricity and shit like that.
Is that what it was? Because I was
giveaway.
Going, why aren't you just invisible all the time?
Exactly.
Like, it's just weird, all right?
And they look exactly like fucking aliens, but more shit. And even Uwe Boll, in the commentary, refers to them as xenomorphs.
Oh, my God. He actually said that. It's so specific. All right. Well,
Which is just like, I'm ripping you off. I don't give a fuck. What are you going to do? My film's a piece of shit. But it doesn't say that last part.
Well, man, I actually think there is a scene where I've gone, I'm not sure, but that might be the worst action scene I've ever seen. Everyone, you should look
up. Does it involve a heavy metal song over the top?
Dude, that's it. Guys, if you feel like it, go to YouTube and Google Alone in the Dark thrash scene. All right. It's where Christian Slater and the chick are in the middle of this hugely big apartment. There's darkness going on. There's special forces going on everywhere. It's bizarre. You see slow-mo freeze frames and zoom-ins of just guns going off. And then a slight like turn of like, you see this sort of thing in the background. And it's hand-to-hand fighting in a room where everyone's shooting at monsters. There's one bit where an Asian zombie guy happens to face off against the Asian police guy. And they have this fight of martial arts fight because they're both Asian. So... It's the worst thing you've ever seen. And it's like, I can't even believe... And you know what? These monsters who can't live in the bright, they will flash on and off the lights.
I'm saying, they intermittently knock out the light.
Just knock them out and keep them off.
Their position.
It's so weird. And why would you put the light back on if the light killed you? Also, the chick has a torch, right? And one goes after them. Instead of using the torch in the face of this thing to actually make it go away, she just uses it to light the scene. She says, at no time, it's ridiculous.
It's also, we should mention, Tara Reid.
Tara Reid,
who
forgot,
is the
yes.
intelligent scientist girlfriend, which whom I Christian totally Slater buy, Paul. Dumped.
I buy that every day.
Unceremoniously, which only leads to one slap, and then she's totally on board.
Oh, God. No, it's so stupid when they try and play this thing off between the two characters. Like, she hugs him and
then poor Stephen Dorff is the leader of the...
This is what I... How did they sign Stephen Dorff, bro?
Well, this film cost $20 million. That's how.
Shit.
This film cost more... than Insidious 1, 2, and 3 combined. And this is the film that was the result.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
I couldn't believe how bad it was. I remember, I like Christian Slater. I actually liked, I'm a big fan of Broken Arrow and shit like that. I liked his heyday.
Yeah, me too.
All right, it just went to, I don't know what happened here. It's a piece of shit.
The effects are so bad in this film. You talked about the aliens, and you're absolutely right. But you have to see the action in this film to believe it.
Yeah.
Not just those zooming in weird shots, we'll come back to hold that thought.
Yeah.
But the fact that the flashes are also CGI.
Yeah.
The scenes in this film where blood splatter is CGI, not blood splatter, but blood pooling. Pools
for no reason.
CGI.
You could
just put fucking tomato sauce and shit underneath it, like whatever, corn syrup to make it come out. Like, why would you do that CGI, Uwe Boll?
I wonder if he had a deal
with
the...
You're a fucking idiot.
He had a deal with the studio or something. He's like, listen, I'm going to give you like this many hours of work. So I don't know.
Actually, I've watched his documentary. He's unapologetic with everything. He shits on everyone.
No, he's a cunt, isn't he?
Including Michael Bay and everyone else. And fuck Marvel and fuck everyone for not watching my films. Like, I just... In one way, I admire his defense mechanisms that... nothing can touch him, but it's clearly a reactionary.
Like bravado. He wouldn't care if he didn't care.
They have touched him. Now he's a restaurant owner, restaurateur, and I think he may be in Canada, and he's just moved on to a different phase in life.
See, some I've heard this. Kevin Smith said this in Hollywood. You just fail upwards. Like you could actually be like, you know, the producer of Batman was a hairdresser. So there you go.
All right. That was my four. That was your one. So your for number
my
three.
My number three is another game I love, Max Payne.
Yeah, this Max is the Payne. One that fell off my list last, and here's the only reason why, because I really want to hear you talk about it. I have so blocked this movie out, other than how garbage everything was about it, other than maybe the slow... Because David Powell, Facebook moderator, and
I was going to mention
top little page of the show, he worked on this game.
Yeah, as in the marketing of it.
And
by the way, this game is one of the best games I've ever played.
Wonderful game.
For its time.
In the late 90s.
Yeah, and I still play Max Payne 3.
So and pioneer bullet time. As David has pointed out, no, Matrix didn't create this. Max Payne did.
Yes. He dives across in slow-mo and bullets slow-mo come
and you hit a button which
fires.
Slows everything down and you move a little bit faster to get out of the way of shit. That's amazing.
And it becomes integral to the way you play the game.
Yes.
Because every time you do it, right? So this film here, Mark Wahlberg is Max Payne. Bad call. Mila Kunis is in it. Right? Bo Bridges, Ludacris, Chris O'Donnell, Donald Logue, people like that are all in small bits in here, right? So the game is very film noir panels, and it's the way it's good, it's because it's all good. And Max Payne does cool things like, he says just shit in the voiceover like, one thing you can count of, you push a man too far, sooner or later he'll start pushing back. Shit like that, right? It's all very detective-y. This is Marky Mark's voice doing that kind of shit, and it just sounds like, say hi to your mom for me. You know, it's like, it doesn't work.
Does it maybe Wayne sound like...
God.
What? No.
Strikingly like that. And here's this thing. In this movie, there's this weird thing. Anytime a character gets punched or hit, the movie tints red for a second. And it looks...
I don't remember that.
It looks really shit. It's okay. So forgettable. And it's like... nothing happens. At no time... Wait. Mark Wahlberg fires a gun like twice in this film.
You're shitting me.
There's a slow-mo scene, but not a diving
The whole
slow-mo
game
scene.
Is... him firing guns in slow-mo.
That's right.
Dodging bullets.
None of that. Well,
it's like
none of
that VR here. Fucking games now.
That's right. And the only thing, exactly, and they don't do that here. There is a slow-mo sequence, but he's not firing a gun. He's throwing something. It's weird. There is one wicked-looking scene where there's this drug that everyone takes, and it makes it look like they hallucinate bad, like, demons coming to get them. And they actually depict that. That looks
this sort of
cool.
Thing ain't my bag, baby.
Exactly. And I will say that it did succeed on some level with ambience, because it actually is not bad. The frames don't look bad. They look kind of like moody, but it fails everywhere else. So total piece of shit.
My gut was this should be on my list instead of Assassin's Creed.
It's slow. The thing is, it's a badly paced film.
I've got to be honest, but I didn't. I spent hours this week. Normally I don't. Normally I know my list and I can just go and I can talk about it. This week I had to go back and look because, like I said, you block this shit and you never rewatch it.
I spent 6 hours doing this shit, right? So like late at night just to watch.
Not to tell people they should be, but this week was a task.
Sometimes it's tough, people. Sometimes it's tough.
It was. All right. Now bounce right back to you, Wayne, because my number three is Super Mario Brothers.
It's a me, Mario. All right. I can't I'm not allowed to do that anymore. All right. Number two, Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Surely not on your list, Paulie?
Low.
Okay, fair enough. All right, everyone, I'll just do this real quick.
Sorry. I hope
that that's the music you've used to introduce this segment.
Maybe we'll go out on it.
All right, go on.
What I don't like to do, if you haven't worked this out yet, Wayne or indeed others, is spoil with the music cue at the start.
Of course.
But I will do it at the end.
Makes total sense. Sorry. Okay, everyone. Mortal Kombat. When I was a time zone attendant, it was the first game that actually had real people scanned in to be the characters, and it was mind-blowing at the time. It also had fatalities, where you like, finish him, and you go, you know, left, right, up, down, kick, punch, go with balls. Yep. And it gives some special shit, right?
I don't even know how that word got out in the world, though, because the internet wasn't a thing.
I know. That's why it was so amazing. I remember seeing people at school would give me printed or photocopied
pieces
of
paper.
But where
did they get it from? How was this information distributed?
It was actually typed out. Someone did that. I know, right? That's why it made it even more magical. So the actual game itself, holy shit. Now, the first movie I liked. It's crap, but I liked it. This is the sequel to that movie, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah, the first one's nowhere near my list either.
No, because it's actually in this list.
If we had to do a top 10, it'd probably be in there.
See, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. It's a piece of shit, but on this list it's high, you know. So anyway,
correct.
So this film here, apparently the only thing anyone ever says that's good about it is this: it has an exceptional techno soundtrack if you like that sort of thing. Yeah. I don't, which means everything is shit here. Right, so which is totally how it goes.
Fuck you.
I'm telling you, we're both doing it. Lackluster presentation. The film actually looks like this. You can see green screen in the film. Oh. When the explosions happen in
this
the sky in the background.
Film, it almost defies belief.
Yeah. I mean, actual green screen, though, as in like clipping, like for like bad production. It's so incredibly
shit. Low angle shot of people, of ninjas flipping through the sky.
In slow-mo. But also bad slow-mo, right? And there's
poor Brian Thompson, who can't act his way out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
Being Shel Kahn. Oh my God, he's terrible in this movie. Everyone is terrible in this movie. Bridget Wilson was beyond coming back to this movie.
I know.
She was the first one. She's like, I'm not going to
be. And she's not even big. Like, she could have taken.
She hadn't even met fucking Pete Sampras yet. It's not like we can even say she was spending Pete Sampras's money. She just was like, I can see dog shit when I can smell it. I'm out of here.
Well, you know what's weird? James Remar, who is an actor
I
like,
God,
is fucking like Raiden or whatever, right?
Here's a drinking game for you. Every time James Remar, aka Raiden, gets blown through a wall in this film,
really?
Take a fucking full drink.
Because this is the Christopher Lambert
room. Whatever you got left, drink it. You will appreciate this film much, much more.
I remember, though, this was like this is an attempt to appeal to the hardcore fans, because that's all they had. They put tons of extra characters. It's like, you know, elder gods, and the bits of lore are dropped at random, but everyone falls short in their role. Like, if James Remar can't even make that work.
I feel like James Remar was still recovering from being booted out of being Hicks in Aliens. Like, it's...
Was he...
12 years
was
later.
Was he going to be Hicks in Aliens?
He was meant to be Hicks in Aliens.
Oh,
and he came up and he shot, and there's photos of him in...
What happened?
Disagreements with James Cameron.
Is that so? And he boots him up, Michael Bean's him in.
Yep.
Wow.
Michael Bean comes in and kills that role.
Yeah, he kills it.
You'll be bitter for a long time. Maybe 12 years time.
Yeah, all the way up till Dexter. Mm. So, but yeah, so anyway, the movie, it's actually like, it looks like it's actually an unfinished film. That's how bad it is.
It looks like a student film.
Yeah, it looks like a student film.
I know it's 1997 and we're now fucking 25 years beyond that, but even at that time where CG was in its infancy, like having penis buildings exploding the way that they do.
Well, even in the first Mortal Kombat, the thing that came out of Scorpion's like hand,
yeah,
that was shit. But at the time, it looked alright. I remember having it on Laserdisc, Paul. And then
Laser.
But then this, and that was okay for its time. Now it looks shit. But this came after that, and it was worse than that. So, and
do you know what elevated this to my number one?
What,
the fact there's 11 minutes of credits?
Is there? I can't remember that. Is there really 11 minutes
in 1997? 11.
Is it all CGI shit?
Minute. No.
It's just fucking.
There's nothing. It's not padded out by fucking after.
Oh, it's just black on, like, letters on black?
Slow scrolling through 11.
Why?
Fucking minutes.
How would anyone greenlight
that? The importance. This is directed by John R. Leonetti, who went on to direct massive pieces of shit like Wish Upon. You never need to wish that upon your worst enemy. And the first Annabelle movie. This guy is a fucking hack. How he gets a job at any level after watching this movie makes my blood boil. I will direct a better film with half the budget. Fucking come on, Hollywood.
He didn't
hit me up.
He didn't get thrown in movie jail after this. Apparently not. That's insane. Wow.
I mean, to be fair, fucking those two films were both 20 years later, but
actually,
still.
You know what? Hollywood loves a comeback. They actually do. So I think that happens. Everyone has a second, third act of their life. Trust me, Joss Whedon will direct again. Mel Gibson's already back. Okay, Hollywood likes a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Joshua.
All right. Well, you know my number one. Wow. So we'll just go through cycling.
Oh, wait. I haven't given my number two.
Haven't you? Shit, sorry. Go ahead.
My number two, because that was your number two.
That was my number two.
And we haven't heard your number one.
No, we have. It's Alone in the Dark.
That was your number.
Yeah.
So here's the last film. Also an Uwe Boll film. Wayne, did you ever see House of the Dead?
No. And I did consider watching it but it sounded too like a horror, so I said, screw that.
I may be splitting hairs here. What's worse, House of the Dead / Alone in the Dark? House of the Dead from 2 years before Alone in the Dark. You might argue, therefore, that's worse because he learnt nothing.
Yeah.
This film completely destroys House of the Dead as a... It's so bad.
What? Did you play the game?
Yes, I did.
And it's a spooky game?
Is that arcade where it's guns pointing at the screen type shit?
Right.
Obviously, they recreated it for home systems and whatever else.
Okay, and the movie?
I only had to watch one scene, which lasts 8 fucking minutes.
What is it?
To put this in my number two spot.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it. And that he made the artistic / creative decision to splice in shots from the game into this
movie. Really?
Wayne. Literally fucking eight bits are on.
What? I want to look at it. I want to look at that.
I
shit
you not.
He put the game in the film. Shots of it.
Shit you not. Action sequences, characters firing their guns, and then...
Like the arcade game?
Yes. The arcade game
the 8-bitty
is spliced
fucking
in.
I want to see it. Hang on a second.
Right. We'll go to the elevator music. Holy shit. Welcome to the world of House of the Dead.
Maybe
I just shot myself in the foot because that should have been number one.
Dude, all right. You know, this scene that you just showed me, Paul.
Is the worst scene.
Makes that Alone in the Dark scene look like a fucking Scorsese film. This is the worst action scene I've ever
watched.
It's
not much better.
I don't even know what's going on.
Because only three of them. There are numerous shots in that, which if you went back and, because I did, not by myself, but with the help of some people who have done it before, effectively showing background, extras doing stupid shit, characters firing in the wrong direction.
Dude, there's continuity errors in here where characters change the gun they're using. And that's the worst filmmaking. It actually makes me angry at him by proxy because it's just that scene. Yeah, that's the worst thing I've ever seen.
That's my number two.
All right,
possibly should be my number one is Mortal Kombat: : Annihilation, and that's our lists. Wayne, run us back through them again. 10 through 1.
Sure.
What wheel is for the worst 10 video game films?
To 10 was Street Fighter, 9 Double Dragon, 8 Dead or Alive, 7 Doom, 6 Assassin's Creed, 5 Hitman, 4 Super Mario Brothers, 3 Max Payne, 2 Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and my number 1 was Alone in the Dark.
All right. There's a lot of crossover, as you said. My number 10, Assassin's Creed, 9 Wing Commander, 8 Street Fighter, 7 Resident Evil, : The Final Chapter, 6 Hitman, : Agent 47, 5 Monster Hunter, 4 Alone in the Dark, 3 Super Mario Brothers, 2 House of the Dead, at number 1 Mortal Kombat: : Annihilation. That is our list, Wayne. Any honorable mentions that you would, dishonorable mentions that you wish to call out?
Just one. Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
No!
Did you like that?
I thought that film had merit.
Really?
Especially the first half.
Man, it just turned to nothing at the end of the movie. Anyway, but yeah, please, any of you?
I had the Uwe Boll trilogy complete with In the Name of the King, colon, A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Jason Statham, right?
Yes.
I was, on the research that turned up, I didn't even know that he'd done that movie.
Number two, as mentioned, Max Payne. Number three, Resident Evil, colon, Welcome to Raccoon City from last year, which I just watched a couple of weeks ago. What a piece of shit. That's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of the podcast in a segment that we call the Pop 10. Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with the next guest on the show, Stu, for the Stu World Order podcast. Check it out. The most recent Mortal Kombat has to be up there. Woo! 2021.
Which one? Oh, no, that one, by comparison, that one's fine.
I tend to agree. So does Mortal Kombat Annihilation and, let's say, Super Mario Brothers.
Uh-huh.
John Amenta from the Pony Comics podcast, recent guest host of the show, said, Mortal Kombat Annihilation is one of the worst things that has ever happened to me. I remember really hating Doom, and the second Tomb Raider film with Jolet is a rare film. I stopped after 10 minutes because it was so stupid.
Paul and his Angelina Jolie becoming French all of a sudden.
Mario Leon, who is a supporter of the show through Patreon, said Detective Pikachu and Doom. First time, I think, contributor Shazad Magani said Assassin's Creed, what a PC of trash, even with Michael Fassbender.
Again.
Super Mario Brothers, really do I need to explain why? And number one by a mile is Wayne. Alone in the Dark.
Booyah.
Has 1% of Rotten Tomatoes score, which is far too generous, I say.
Wow.
Jason Barr may also be. So I think it's probably Jason. Hey, Jace.
For what up, Jace?
Patron of the show. So Street Fighter, Raul Julia is probably the only fun thing about this film. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And any Resident Evil film after the first one. Correct.
Except the
Super
second one.
Mario. Also correct. What?
That's right. I know. I'm done with it. I just like it when you do, I guess, accents or takes.
He made me do it.
I know. I want to keep it coming, people.
Joey DiCarlo from the It's Always a Podcast. Great show. Do check them out. This is tough because while House of the Dead and JCVD Street Fighter are shit, they're hilarious and fun, bad movie watchers. I hear what you're saying there.
I don't.
Number three, Wing Commander. Number two, Street Fighter, colon, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yeah, apparently that is a complete... I haven't seen it either.
Likewise. And number one, Resident Evil, colon, Afterlife. Well, you can take your pick of Resident Evil as far as I'm concerned, Julie.
Yeah,
that's Afterlife. Fair choice. Chris Sutherland says, Street Fighter is the worst best made. Perfection. Assassin's Creed was just ass. And what the fuck was Mario Brothers, even in the 80s or even early 90s when it was shot?
Hell yes.
Jamie Davies said, but Uncharted is a decent 3-star film for games adaptations translate to a masterpiece.
Absolutely. I think it's the bomb. And we're going nowhere near this list.
Listen, you snot-nosed little shit. I was taking shrapnel and K-Sod.
Suck
while
my
you were balls. Wiping it in your hands and rubbing it on your face.
I think that means I disagree, Jamie. Number three, Super Mario Brothers. Number two, Assassin's Creed. And number one, Silent Hill, colon, Revelation 3D.
I take it you've seen that one?
I did, but I don't remember anything about it.
That's the thing about these. It's unremarkable shit that you just block them up.
I have to acknowledge it. Blake Jarvis, a high level patron of the show. Thank you, Blake, for your support. Number three, Mortal Kombat, colon, Annihilation. Number two, Blood Rain. Another Uwe Boll sensation.
That I saw bits of and like, holy shit. Had I seen that, probably
Wayne,
definitely.
Once again, number one, Alone in the Dark. Reckon you're going to kill
this
one, my friend. Brad Hargis from the Cinema Guys podcast, who I'm currently doing some features on their Patreon stream as we review all three of the recent Apes films,
boom,
which are all great films to a greater or lesser extent. Got to give Uwe Boll crap trio combo of number three, Alone in the Dark. Number two, Blood Rain. In his absolute biggest pile of dung. Number one, House of the Dead.
Yeah.
Gary Stevenson said, so many to choose from. Got to go with number three, Doom. Number two, Warcraft. Number one, Max Payne.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Warcraft. You did or did not like that one?
No.
Because I never saw it.
Not good. Mina Harker has returned. Welcome back to the group, Mina. Number three, Mortal Kombat, colon, Annihilation. Number two, Doom. Number one, Double Dragon. Because who thinks a baddie with literal testicles for a head is menacing?
I remember that. Yes, it was gross.
Matt Evans said, number three, Mortal Kombat, again, Annihilation. I think that's the winner.
Yeah, you got to say that.
For a number of people.
Fair
picked
enough.
It. Number two, Blood Rain. And number one, House of the Dead. He actually took the time to say, the best ever is Prince of Persia.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Is
didn't
it?
Hate it.
You hate it?
I didn't hate it.
Because Jake Gyllenhaal, I'll give it a try, right?
Yeah, fair enough. And was it Gemma Arterton was the princess?
Yeah, definitely give it a try.
And lastly, to wrap it up, David Powell, he who does moderate our Facebook community, number 3, House of the Dead, just awful. Number 2, Mortal Kombat, colon, Annihilation, takes everything that made the first film a guilty pleasure and throws it out the window beyond amateurish. Number 1, Alone in the Dark, not even Pick, Era, Slater, and Dorf can save this horrendous dumpster fire of a movie.
Hell yeah. Nice one.
And that is it from us today. Wayne, how do the good folk get back in touch with us or give us some feedback about the show?
You Google us, you'll find our socials, but you can also send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
You also forgot about thecountdownpodcast.com.
Which I will make better soon. So, actually, give me a few weeks. You can go there now if you want, but give me a few weeks. It'll be better.
And Come back. Of course, we host through Podbean. Do check us out there. The Facebook community link is also in the show notes. Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 361 of The Countdown?
I can't remember what we said, Paul.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, it was about 90 minutes ago.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a long time ago.
Around.
Yeah, you tell me.
Top 10 noir films.
Yes, noir film.
Directed by, / given us away, Geordie Davidson, top level patron of the show. Thank you so much, Geordie, for your support. And if you'd like to, there's one spot left. You want to give us a countdown to do, check us out on Patreon. The link's on the website or patreon.com/thecountdown.
Pretty sure.
Don't take
links in the show notes.
Just go to the website. That's much, much easier. Thank you, Geordie, for your support. This should be a very interesting one. We have not yet agreed what's noir or not. We're going to have that discussion.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
right
that
now. And that's it, right?
That's it.
The worst 10 video game films has been decided / agreed upon. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
How would you like to suck my balls?
Video game adaptations, generally speaking. We'll catch you next time. Yeah.
Bottom 10 video game films.
Is that what we're calling it?
Worst 10. The worst 10 video game films.
This is why we don't give you the responsibility for this shit. Yeah,
okay, you can turn the filter off. Okay, cool.
Now we're going to start again.
Ah, damn it. That'd be funny. Did we say bottom 10?
Worst 10.
Worst 10. Word.
It's always worst 10.
Okay.
How long have you been doing this show?
7.5 years.